Welcome to another episode of the Rebuildable Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gentile, and we are four games through the start of the regular season for the Chicago Bulls. Bulls right now are at 1-3. A lot of people looked at the first five games of the schedule and thought, there's a chance the Bulls could be 5-0 or 4-1 to start the year. And unfortunately, that's not the case. They've looked very uneven to start the season, and there's some disturbing trends that have been developing. I want to get to them when I touch on some of my observations, but I want to make one general point or give you one general thought that I have right now. And I'm not too thrilled with what's going on, because when I heard this team at Media Day and throughout the preseason, the goal of the entire organization, from the front office down to Jim Boylan, down to the players, was to make the playoffs. I've talked about this a lot on our previous episodes. Guests that have come on to have talked about this on our previous episodes. The goal right now for the Chicago Bulls is to make the playoffs. You know, we didn't say it. I didn't say that. Bulls fans didn't say that. The team said it. The organization has set that tone that they want to make the playoffs in 2020. In the first four games, though, and it's really early, I get that. There's still a lot of games left to be played. There's 78 of these left. But if the first four games serve as any type of sample size, it's going to be really hard to get into the playoffs with the way they're playing basketball right now. There's a lot of issues defensively. You know, there's moments on offense where things sort of get stagnant. And there's some guys on this team, Lauri Markkanen, who need to step up a little more and be aggressive and be the instigator on offense and not necessarily just chucking up threes, but maybe getting some of those easy baskets down low. And I'll get into these points, but right now it's just a little upsetting because I was one of those people that thought they could really turn some heads this year and make a splash. But from what we've seen so far, you know, it's going to be hard to even get to 35 wins if they're playing this style of basketball. And I want to get into my three observations that I've made in roughly the past week here. The first one is defensively. There's a lot left to be desired defensively on the Bulls. If you want to be a playoff team, you have to have moments where you actually stop the other team from scoring. And it just seems like there are too many times, and I'm not the only one saying this. It's been noted by every Bulls beat writer. A lot of other podcasters, a lot of other Bulls bloggers have all said the same thing. And a lot of you Bulls fans probably already know this. But my God, the open three-pointers have been a very disturbing trend to start the year. Like, you would think that somebody like Jim Boylan, defensive-minded guy, would be trying to preach to close out defensively on some of these three-point shots. But it's been the biggest problem right now on the defensive end. And in this league, you have to be able to close out on the three-point line. You know, we saw it first game of the season. The Charlotte Hornets put up a franchise record in three-pointers. And then in the most recent game here against the New York Knicks on Monday, you know, this is not a team that's an offensive juggernaut in New York. And you saw Bobby Portis hitting a bunch of threes down the stretch in his revenge game against the Bulls. You saw him hitting all these open threes down the stretch, and a couple other players from the Knicks hitting these open threes down the stretch. That can't happen. It just can't happen. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm beating a dead horse, but if your goal is to get to the playoffs, these are the things you have to clean up. Like, you raise the expectation level. Bulls Nation didn't do that. I didn't do that. None of the media did that. The organization did that. And I just hope that as the season grows on here, that's something that gets cleaned up. Because if it doesn't, man, it's going to be a long season. It's going to be a really long season. Like, they don't have to be world beaters defensively. Nobody's saying that, given what's on the roster right now, that, you know, they should be holding teams to, you know, 95 points a game or, you know, even under 100 points a game. That's really hard to do. Those are what, like, Tom Thibodeau-led teams did in 2011 and 2012 and 2013. We're not asking for that. That's really hard to do in today's NBA, especially with the three-point shot being as prevalent as it is now. But you do have to be able, down the stretch, especially in the fourth quarter, with 5 minutes to go, you have to be able to tighten up defensively. All the good teams in the league do it. Even the mediocre ones that find their way in the playoffs, they tend to stop teams down the stretch, or at least slow down the other team's offense. That's something that the Bulls eventually have to start doing if they want to get to that next level. And in these first four games, we haven't seen that yet. So hopefully that gets better, because that's been one disturbing observation to start the year. The other one, I brought it up, is the offensive stagnation. And it sort of plays into some of the lapses that are happening on defense. It's almost like they happen at the same time. We saw it again that first game of the season. You saw it against Toronto, and we certainly saw it against the Knicks down the stretch. It seems like there's moments in these games where there's no ball movement, there's poor shot selection, and it really just allows the other team to get back into the game, right? You know, there was a point in this recent game against the Knicks where the Bulls had 15, 10-point leads, 8-point leads, and then in the last 3 minutes, in fact, according to Casey Johnson, last 3 minutes and 33 seconds, I got the tweet right here in front of me, they didn't score a single basket. I mean, that just can't happen. You can't have long stretches where you don't score. And that happened against the Hornets. You know, they had a 10-point lead against Charlotte in the first game of the season, and Charlotte ended up going on a 10-0 run and got back in the game. These are the things that you have to clean up. It's fascinating. Because the Bulls will have moments in these games that we've seen so far where the ball's moving very smoothly, right? Like, the first unit tends to really set the tone offensively, and you start seeing ball movement where they're kicking it outside, they're getting easy shots in the lane, it's smooth, it's crisp. But then they sort of lock into hero ball. And you got guys that are just, you know, it's one pass and a shot, or, you know, they're dribbling the air out of the ball in a half-court set. And it just seems odd. It doesn't seem like the consistency is there offensively. And you look at the numbers at the end of the game, and you're like, okay, you have everything you want in terms of shot selection, but if it's not consistent, that's a problem. You know, in this game against the Knicks here, they should have easily eclipsed like 110 points. But then into the game with 98. And part of that was just because down the stretch, they couldn't buy a bucket. And when they were shooting it, they were taking difficult shots, or they weren't getting the best looks. And that's the key to this offense. That's the key really in the league nowadays. You have to be able to get the best quality shot. And the shot selection in the last 3 minutes, 2 minutes of the game was piss poor. In fact, I saw a tweet from Mark Silverman from ESPN 1000, and he said that the Bulls shot selection last 2 minutes was shit. And I responded back to him, and if you're from Chicago and you listen to this podcast, you'll get this reference. Which is worse in the last 2 minutes, the Bears offense or the Bulls shot selection? I mean, if you're a Chicago sports fan, it's been hell when you look at end of game situations with your football team and now your basketball team. But to get back to the Bulls, yeah, the shot selection down the stretch has been worrisome. And that we saw in the first game of the season. You know, we saw some of that even with that win against the Grizzlies. But I think that's probably been a bigger surprise. Like, defensively, we knew it wasn't going to be easy. The personnel on the Bulls just wasn't suited to be a defensive juggernaut by any means. I think, though, we thought that offensively we would see a little more crispness. Now, the good news with that can improve, I think, pretty easily over time. That's something that can be correctable. But you had just hoped against this portion of your schedule, when you're facing a team like the Hornets, the Grizzlies, you know, the Raptors might still be pretty good. So that, you know, you can live with some of the struggles that might have come from that game. But this latest game against the Knicks, 3 out of those 4, you wanted to see a little bit more on the offensive end that gave you some more consistency on the offensive end that gave you some hope. There's still a lot left in the season. I think they could definitely improve that. They have the horses to do it, and I think you do see flashes of how the ball moves. like long term, the offense doesn't worry me. I just am upset that coming out of the gate, I would have loved to have seen more, especially with the way that the schedule shakes out for you. And again, you want to be a playoff team, you got to beat the teams that are on the schedule that you should beat. And so in this case, yeah, I would have liked to have seen some wins against the Hornets and against the Knicks. Okay, the Raptors game, that happens. And I think that team's actually going to put up a fight the rest of this year, even without Kawhi Leonard on the roster. My third and final observation, I definitely want to get to this, involves Lauri Markkanen. And Lauri Markkanen, you know, for me, has been that one bull that I think really has to be one of the alphas on this team for it to go where I think a lot of Bulls fans want this to go, to be a young team on the rise, ready to take that final step to possibly being contender down the road. But to get there, you need Lauri Markkanen to be one of your key players, one of your star players. I think we've seen it from Zach LaVine, especially since he is a dominant scorer on the floor, that he's got that capability. You know, he could be assertive on the floor. In these first four games, if you take that first game of the season out of it, Lauri's lack of aggression scares me a little bit. Now, against the Knicks, he got a little bit better. There was a play in this game against the Knicks, and actually, C-Dub from the Ball on Bulls podcast made this observation on Twitter, too. I wanted to give him a shout-out for it. There was a play where Lauri Markkanen had a mismatch on offense, had a smaller guy on him, and he took a fadeaway. And there's moments like that with Lauri that just puzzle me. Like, when he has the opportunity to size up a smaller defender, he sometimes doesn't take full advantage of it. And it's not, I don't think it's alarming, but I think it's something that you kind of put in the back of your mind. Because we're not sure if he's ready to take that leap just yet. And it's moments like that that make you go, does he have that ability to really be a stone-cold killer on the floor? You know, not everybody is cut out to be that. And it's not always necessary. But I think for where the Bulls want to go right now, they need that from him. You know, if you look at the two games prior to this last one against the Knicks, games 2 and 3, you know, against Memphis and against the Toronto Raptors. In both those games, he had 9 points in each of those games. And in the second game against Memphis, he took 15 shots. 10 of those were from three-point range. And he ended up going 1 of 10 from 3. Now, there's going to be games like that. You're going to go 1 of 10, you know, 1 of 7. You're not going to have the best night shooting threes. It happens. But what I'd like to see Lauri do is when he is struggling from three, he takes it down low, that he tries to get easy buckets to sort of get himself in a rhythm. The best way to get yourself out of a funk, even if you're a three-point shooter, is to get some easy buckets closer to the basket. And I'd like to see Lauri do that more. You know, we didn't really see that a lot against Memphis. And you know, same against Toronto, too. It's something you just want to see him do is maybe park himself a little closer to the basket. I don't know if that's a Jim Boylan thing or if that's a Lauri Markkanen thing. But I would like to see Lauri get some of those easy buckets if he's struggling from three. And to me, that's what the best players on your team do. If they're not shooting it well from three, they're not shooting it well from outside, you know what they do? They take it in. They start getting easier buckets. Like, we see Zach LaVine do that. He's had moments like that in the last couple of years where if he's not shooting it well from three, he's going to take it inside. He's going to shoot it from mid-range, get a high-quality shot from, you know, even just 15 feet away because it gets him in a rhythm. And then eventually the three-point shot starts to come. And if the three-point shot doesn't come, who cares? You're getting yourself to the basket. You're giving yourself an easier look and you're giving yourself a chance to even just go to the foul line. And that's what I want to see Lauri do more. In these first four games, you know, the first game aside, that was a really good performance overall. You can't complain about that. He played very well in the first game. You know, and again, against the Knicks, he started attacking the basket a little more, and he definitely had more rhythm from outside. But, you know, those two games right there in the middle, in these first four games. You just wanted to see him be more aggressive and take it to the rim. So I just, it's something that I just keep in the back of my mind. And I'm just cautious about it. That's all. You know, I'm not writing off Lowry by any means. And I'm not saying that, you know, Lowry's not going to be, you know, an all-star caliber player or be somebody that is a focal point on this team. Not saying that at all. But what I am saying is it's just something to consider and just something to keep in the back of your mind, because I think for a lot of us who thought he was ready to take that next step, these are the moments you kind of say, well, maybe we need to see just a little bit more. We talked about the offensive stagnation. I said you can improve that as the season goes along, and you can. You know, you keep working on it. You make sure that the ball just keeps moving. With Lowry, though, you can't coach somebody to just be aggressive. It's a mindset. And that's something that he just has to have. You know, and that's what we're getting a feel for this season. As I've said before, what I do on this podcast is I always look at the long-term outlook or the long-term projection. So for me, I'm always looking at even that little detail. And I'm hoping that over the next 78 games, that it starts to come out more and more for Lowry. That aggression, that aggressiveness comes out. Because there were times last season that this would happen where, you know, he wasn't as assertive as you'd like him to be. And those are just some things that we've kind of seen in spurts this season. And that's the weird thing with Lowry. There'll be moments where he is aggressive in a game because he's in a rhythm early. But when he's not in a rhythm, that's where some of the aggressiveness sort of stops. And I wonder, like, for the Bulls, for Jim Boylan and his staff, are they going to have to consider early in ball games trying to feed Lauri Markkanen to make sure that he gets himself into a rhythm? So you sort of force the issue by putting him down low just to get himself in a rhythm if he's not stroking it well from three. I wonder if that is something that will sort of happen as the season goes along, because I think it would help the Bulls, and I think it would help Jim Boylan if he does that, if he forces the issue a little more from Lowry than just hoping that it sort of organically and naturally happens throughout a game, because I think it doesn't always happen where Lowry's going to just take that upon himself to do it. I think maybe that's something that, for now, coach it up, make it happen in a game, and then over time, Lowry will learn, okay, when I do this, things go well for me, things go well for our team. So those are my observations, my three observations to start this season. This is, I think, going to be a regular segment for me as the season goes on. I teased it in our preseason recap. I gave three observations. And I really think it's quick, it's digestible, it makes it an easy listen episode for you, the listener. So I think every week I'm going to go into those three observations when I'm flying solo. If I have a guest, we'll change it a little bit and tailor the conversation based on how that goes with the person I'm talking to. But when I'm flying solo on these episodes, I'll give you my three observations like I did today. So to recap, my three observations: defense, you got to get better. Definitely have to improve as the season goes on, especially if you want to be a playoff team, like you've said since the beginning of the preseason. Second, offense, can't get as stagnant as you are right now. Certainly something that can be improved, but if that keeps happening, it's going to make it hard on already bad defense, that's for sure. And three, Lauri Markkanen, please get more aggressive. When you are aggressive on offense, it makes the Bulls' offense a lot better. And actually, that other point about stagnation, it helps stop that as well if you're clicking. So those are my three observations from these first four games of the Bulls season. Be sure to keep checking out episodes of the Rebuildable Podcast. You can find us on all the major platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all of those. You can find us on the big boys. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at @rebuild_a_bull. All of our latest episodes will be there. All the latest on the Chicago Bulls, any news, any observations, we're always trying to tweet from there. So have a good one, and please tune in next week. Thank you for listening to the Rebuildable Podcast. Be sure to check out more episodes on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Rebuildable.com.